We are joined by a Cleveland Browns legend, only lineman in NFL history to be named to the Pro Bowl in each of his first 10 seasons. He played 10,363 consecutive snaps, only player in team history to win the team's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award three times, the host of the Tomahawk Show, 2006 Outland Trophy winner, 2018 Outland Trophy ambassador, and leading their Fight Flu public awareness campaign. Joe Thomas is my guest. Joe, it's great to have you on. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Good to have you, Joe. Thanks so much. So you were with Cleveland for so many seasons, Joe, and there were a few moments where it really felt like there might be hope. I got to be honest, right now the Browns to me are one of the most exciting teams in the league. I love their potential. So what do you think when you watch them on both sides of the ball right now?
Well, I'm really hopeful. I'm excited for the future. Obviously, I'm a huge Cleveland Browns fan. And when you look at who they've got a potential franchise rookie quarterback right now. They've got one of the best young pass rushers in the league, and they've got one of the best young cornerbacks in the league. And those are three positions that you can build off for the future, and that's why I'm saying it's great to be a Cleveland Browns fan right now.
We're talking to Joe Thomas. You know, in terms of the rookie quarterback, you were there when Johnny Manziel arrived before this year's draft. Or, no, you were there then, but before this year's draft, some folks were trying to make the comparison between Manziel and Baker Mayfield. Based on your time with Manziel and what you've seen from Baker, how accurate is that comparison really?
Well, it's not very accurate at all. I think people wanted to make the comparison because they're both short quarterbacks from Texas that have a lot of personality. They've got a lot of competitive fire. But when you look at how they play, Baker's much more of a pocket passer. He wants to do things within the confines of the offense, within the rhythm of the offense. And really, most of the plays that Johnny made in college, which he made a lot of them, were running around, ad-libbing, throwing the ball downfield to Mike Evans. And so really, they're totally different guys. And I think what Baker did well in college was why he is so far transitioned really well into the pro game, because he is making those plays within the confines of the offense, and he is expected to throw the ball from the pocket more often than not.
Joe Thomas, my guest. You know, Joe, then you've got all the intangible things, right? Like, for instance, being a rookie quarterback can be a really challenging thing because you've got to walk into a group of grown men, guys with families, guys who've been doing it for a long time, and you've got to say, follow me. What is it that, for instance, you would look for to see in a young quarterback that makes you feel like you want to follow him?
Well, to me, it's all about commitment. It's, is he putting the time in the meeting room? Is he staying later than I am? Which, when I was playing, I used to stay pretty late. So it was pretty tough for those guys to stay longer than me, to be that guy that was preparing, that was burning that midnight oil. But if you want to be a successful quarterback in the NFL, that's what you have to do. You have to be there till 8, 9 every single night, going over game plan, watching practice film, meeting with the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach, because there is so much to learn as a quarterback. It is the most difficult position in all of sports. It's like, if you want to be a good quarterback in the NFL, it's like getting your PhD. It's becoming a doctor. You need to be a doctorate in quarterbacking. And when you leave college, you basically just have your undergrad. So there's so much to learn. There's so much time you have to put in. And if you want guys to lead, or you want to be able to lead guys in the NFL, those grown men that have families that have been doing it a long time, you got to prove to them that it's important to you and that you're putting in the time, and that when the time comes, you're going to be the one that can make that play because you're prepared.
Cleveland Browns great Joe Thomas joining us here in the jungle. And Joe, one more thought about Manziel. I bring it up because he said on the Tomahawk Show, quote, "I look back at it now and I'm like, damn, I wasted a little bit of Joe T's career in Cleveland," end of quote. What was it like when you heard that for the first time?
Well, he talked to me privately about that type of stuff after he was gone and done in Cleveland. But I think, you know, for him to reflect on that is a big step in his maturation process. And if he does ever want to have a chance to play in the NFL, he's got to come to terms with the fact that he did squander his career in Cleveland because he was given a huge opportunity and he didn't put in the preparation. He didn't put in the time and the commitment that it takes to be in the NFL. Now, me specifically, well, hey, I wish he would have been a better quarterback, of course. I wish we would have won a lot more games, but that's not the way things turned out, and I can't cry over spilled milk.
We're talking to Joe Thomas. Joe, you and Andrew Hawkins were at the stadium on Sunday and gave a pump-up speech to the fans. Look, I know you're humble. You're not going to take credit for this win over Atlanta or anything like that, but let me ask you, Cleveland is such a proud, proud city. Those fans are diehard. What was it like to play in front of them?
Well, like you mentioned, we were there with the Tomahawk Show, my award-winning podcast, and it was unbelievable playing in front of those people, because even though the record was not very good year in and year out, for some reason there's so much pride and passion in the Cleveland Browns and with their fans that they would continue to show up and they would cheer and they were interested, whereas Most other NFL franchises, those fans, as soon as the losing starts happening, they just turn the knob. They turn the TV off and they start watching something else. But for a Clevelander or a Cleveland Browns fan, that's what they live and breathe and they die with. And it doesn't matter what the record is, they're going to pay attention and they're going to show up every single week and they're going to support the team. And it really felt good that even though I didn't have a very successful career from a wins and loss standpoint, those people still showed up and they cheered for you and they were in your corner.
Well, and then, Joe, the number 10,363, it goes into the team's ring of honor. I know how much your teammates and coaches love that moment. What was it like for you to see that up there with all the other Browns legends?
That was really special. There's a lot of guys that have played in Cleveland that have gone on to the Hall of Fame, and some of the greatest names in football, Otto Graham, Lou Groza, Jim Brown, and to just have that snap streak up there with them and hopefully someday have my name up there with them is something that is surreal. It really hasn't been able to become real for me yet, but standing in that stadium the day that they unveiled that, there was definitely some tears rolling down my face as I kind of reflected over what it really meant to be able to be out there with my friends and my teammates and my coaches and put together over 10,000 consecutive snaps.
You know, Joe, guys really struggle when it ends, and they're not often prepared for it. You seem like you've made the transition, at least from the outside looking in. It seems like you've made the transition pretty seamlessly. You've been really busy as a broadcaster and a podcaster. So what's your first year of retirement been like?
It's been busy. Like you mentioned, a lot of guys struggle, but for me, after I got through like about my eighth season, I started kind of paying attention to my friends that were getting to that stage. They were retiring, and I wanted to try to make sure that I was as prepared as possible for that time that did come when you have to retire, because it comes for everybody. It's just a matter of time. So for me, I knew that the number one thing that could help me kind of avoid some of the pitfalls that other guys have had is just stay busy, right? Continue to be involved in the game in your own little way. And that's kind of what being in the media has done for me, but also stay busy. You know, you're going to have plenty of free time that you're not used to, but you still need to have a schedule. You need to have discipline. You need to have some of those things that were part of your daily life, because if you just let all that go away, you're going to kind of wander around like a rudderless ship. You don't really know what's going on. And then that's when you start to question, you know, what am I doing? You know, what's my purpose in life? And for me, I never wanted to have those things happen.
Right. Like, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? Joe, what about the physical transition? I mean, you've talked about how you have almost no cartilage left in your knees. And then in your final season, it was tough enough just to walk. You've made that transition to broadcasting look easy, but you've also lost a lot of weight. What's your approach been like when it comes to food in retirement?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, towards the end of my career, I really started looking forward to being able to lose some of that weight that I had to carry to be an offensive lineman, because I knew it was going to make me feel a lot better. It was going to make my knees feel better, my hips, my back. And so as soon as I decided to retire, I started losing that weight, and it's been a great process. I really cut out a lot of my carbs. I've done some of the keto diet. I've tried to pick up swimming and yoga, and I still lift weights, but it's been great. I'm down about 50 pounds from where I was during my playing days, and I feel a lot better. I'm not going to say I feel great, but I used to feel 65, and maybe now I feel 45.
Good. What about a cheat meal? Do you allow yourself a cheat meal, and if so, what is it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I am a pizza guy through and through, so for me, when I have that cheat meal, I go crazy and eat like a pizza and a half.
We're talking to Joe Thomas. Joe, you're the 2018 Outland Trophy Ambassador. You're working with the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases to help people fight the flu. What is the number one thing that you want listeners to do in order to fight the flu, to beat the flu?
Well, the most important thing is to try to stop it before you get it, you know, and the only way you're going to do that is if you're getting that flu vaccine. And there's a lot of people around us, especially as the holidays come up. There's those little kids, those older people, our grandparents that can't get the flu shot. They're not allowed. And in order to protect them from the flu and all the terrible consequences when you get the flu at a young age or a really old age, you need to have that flu shot. So obviously you want to protect yourself, but protect the people around you that you're going to be seeing during the holidays that you love, that you know, that can't get the flu shot, because the last thing you want to do is be that Typhoid Mary and show up at Thanksgiving and get everybody the flu.
So last thing you want, Joe, I do this every single year. I mean, aside from this and the conversation you and I are having, I just buy into it. I believe in it. I know the winter's coming. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to miss work. What about you? There's some that say like, no, man, I don't. It only gets me sick. I don't buy into the flu shot. Where do you come out on this?
Well, there's a lot of people that want to buy into the conspiracy theories, and they don't want to get the flu shot for whatever reason, which, hey, those people, I'm not going to change their mind about any of this, but you can find out all the legitimate information online if you go to the CDC's website and you read some of those information. But really, hey, I always have been getting the flu shot, especially since I started having kids, because I want to be able to protect them. You know, if I get the flu during my playing days, it was bad. I didn't want to have to go out and play a football game with the flu. But nowadays, the last thing I want to do is get my family sick, because, as you know, if you got a little baby, you're not going to be singing the very happy tune if your kids are sick, because you're not going to be sleeping at all, and it's going to be a nightmare. And
you know,
the last thing that you want around the holidays.
You know it, Joe. Once it gets in the house, it goes all around the house. Joe Thomas, Cleveland Browns legend, joining us. Joe, great to have you on. Thank you very much. I've been looking forward to it.
Hey, Jim, I appreciate you having me on. And don't forget to check out my award-winning podcast, The Tomahawk Show, wherever you get your podcast.
You know it. Well done, Joe. Well done. Joe Thomas, my guest. That's how you do it. He figured that game out fast, didn't he? Do not forget to check out my award-winning podcast. You should. You should check out his award-winning podcast. It's an excellent, excellent podcast. And while you're at it, don't forget to check out my award-winning podcast either, the Jim Rome podcast, which dropped yesterday. Everybody's got one. Some are really, really good. His is, mine is, and some are not. In terms of the flu shot, I do this every single year. I just feel much better when I do it, knowing that it's coming. We're going to get sick no matter what. People get sick. But this time of year, you cannot be sick. When's the last time you saw me miss work because I got sick for any period of time? Don't do it. I get a flu shot.